Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
On this Friday before New Year's, we thought we'd revisit a story about a new beginning. John Elder Robison has Asperger's syndrome, and in his 2007 memoir, Look Me in the Eye, he wrote about how his painful inability to read people's emotions also came along with a spectacular mechanical aptitude that led to a successful life. And it also led to an unusual invitation from researchers at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. They asked him to participate in an experimental therapy that might turn on his brain's ability to see emotions. And even though the effects were temporary, the treatment changed his life. John Elder Robison wrote about the experience in his memoir, Switched On, a memoir of brain change and emotional awakening. And we spoke with John about the book back in March and began by asking him, before the treatment, how much of people's emotions could he read?
Well, you can't really know what you can't see when you can't see it. So the thing is, all through my childhood, other kids told me I was stupid or mental or, you know, they just didn't want to play with me. So I knew that I was missing some component that made me unacceptable.
Yeah. Well, despite that profound challenge that you had a very successful auto repair shop, a profound mechanical aptitude. I mean, you invented the fire-spewing guitars that Kiss is known for now. So you were nevertheless, you were still successful in your own way.
Even though autism crippled me socially and made me isolated and alone, I spent that alone time using this autistic concentration to concentrate on electronics and mechanics, and that made me a star as an engineer and mechanic.
Yeah. When you received this invitation from Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center to participate in some innovative brain treatments, what was your first reaction?
Well, the first thing I thought was it was just really cool because they were interested in using pulses of high-powered magnetic energy to change the way our brains are wired. And I had worked in electronics with high-powered electromagnetic energy. That's what we use to drive speakers. Therefore, I understood it and it wasn't scary. And I thought the idea that we could use that to couple signals into the brain, that's kind of remarkable.
So the experiment involved transcranial magnetic stimulation. And as you describe in the book, it's an electromagnetic field used to induce signals in the outer layers of the brain, hoping to essentially turn on or rebalance parts of the brain that were previously out of balance?
The idea is that you would use the principle of electromagnetic induction to deliver energy to small areas of the brain, areas the size of, say, a golf ball. And that means, for the first time, a doctor could energize or de-energize just a small area of the brain without affecting the rest of the brain.
So tell me more. I mean, what was it like when you were actually undergoing the transcranial magnetic stimulation?
Well, you know, it was really cool. They had told me that the brain doesn't have pain or pleasure receptors, so they said your brain won't feel anything with the stimulation, but you might feel a little bit of a pop from the muscles and stuff and the nerves on the top of your scalp. But what was really weird was even though I didn't feel it inside my head, I could feel it because I'd be like thinking, oh, I got to go get groceries when I leave here. I'm going to count TMS pulses. And I got 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I would just lose my train of thought. I couldn't keep a thought in my head while they did TMS. It just put my mind into kind of a meditative state.
Huh. Now comes the big moment. I mean, how long did it take for you to begin to experience an emotional awakening?
I did one stimulation, and I thought nothing had happened to me. And I came out of the hospital, and I got my car to drive home, and I turned on my music player, and I play a lot of times old concert performances and stuff like that. And it, instead of it being like it had been 1,000 times before, it was like all of a sudden the music was alive. It was like I was back there again, and I could hear all this detail, and I could see it. It was just like I was transported back in time, and it was the most overwhelming thing.
Wow. So you're describing a reaction that the TMS treatment engendered in you in reaction to music. What about people, though? I mean, because your previous book was Look Me in the Eye, My Life with Asperger's, and now suddenly were you able to read people in a way you hadn't been before?
That stimulation didn't have that effect, but a stimulation a little bit later did do that. And that was really, really powerful, too. It was like suddenly I walked into my work with the people around me, and it was like I had ESP. And I was actually overcome by the stream of emotion from all the people around me. It was actually, even though I had thought that being blind to emotion was a disability for me, having that wave of emotion of everyone wash over me, that was crippling to me.
I mean, it's like a tsunami, really, almost more than a wave, because all of a sudden, every single person around you is transmitting this information, this emotional information that you had never been bombarded with before.
The other thing is that I had constructed this fantasy in my mind about disability, and I had thought to myself, well, because I can't read unspoken cues from other people, then I am missing all of these messages of beauty and sweetness and light. And if only I could see those things, my life would be immeasurably better. But when the ability to see into people came on, I didn't see beauty and love and sweetness and light. I saw anxiety and fear and avarice and all these other downer emotions.
On the tip of my tongue, there's this question of whether or not you're glad you did the treatments, because it sounds like the aftermath of some of it was quite overwhelming.
The aftermath was absolutely overwhelming. I think that what the study showed us for the promise of technology has a value far beyond anything that I could possibly get from it.
So you have no regrets then?
I don't want to say that. I mean, I had some really, really hard times. I was driven to be almost suicidal. My marriage fell apart. I embarked on a disastrous relationship after that, and took 5 years for me to remarry and stable and settle down again. TMS actually changed how I saw my memories as a child. I now remember times that people were laughing, but thanks to TMS, I realized they were laughing at me.
That's got to hurt. You know, I'm sorry, John, because I feel it pains me to hear you say that, because we started this conversation with you saying...
Well, it does hurt.
Yeah.
I agree it hurts.
Yeah, because we started this conversation with you saying that, you know, you remember how painful it was growing up, and it feels like you were just like reliving in a brand new way that pain all over again as an adult after the treatment.
It's true that I'm reliving it after the treatment. I guess I feel like my ability to engage other people, especially people who don't know me, is really fundamentally transformed today. And I don't think that TMS is 100% responsible for that. Certainly I've had, you know, practice and stuff at doing it these last 10 years, but I think that it was a significant thing. And I look at the autism advocacy that has kind of taken over my life. All the time I spent talking to folks like you, writing about it, speaking about it, I can feel pride that that's like the greatest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
You know, it almost makes me cry, you know, to think of it. But I hurt so much as a little boy. And I wanted so much in my book, Look Me in the Eye, to share a message of hope with young people that they could grow up and life could be okay. And with this experiment that I took part in, this showed me that it can be real, it can happen, and not just for me, it can happen for so many other people that are affected in different ways as we learn how to use this. And so even though I've been hurt by the memories, it means so much to me for that hope it offers.
Yeah.
And that's why I do it, I guess. Sorry if I seem discomposed at that, but...
John, no apologies. Do you promise? No apologies, because that's what human emotions are, right? We are all complex.
This wouldn't have happened to me 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you don't just get to choose only the good emotions, right? No one gets to choose. We experience the whole gamut of them, all of us. You know, in just talking with you, John, I'm feeling intensely human myself right now, both sort of in a joyful and tragic way at the same time. I should say that John Elder Robison's new book is called Switched On, A Memoir of Brain Change and Emotional Awakening. Thank you, John, for speaking with me.
Well, thank you for calling and wanting to do the interview. I wonder what people are going to make of this story when they hear it.
I guarantee we'll be hearing from them, I'm sure.
You know, it's like, the thing is, it's like science fiction, but it's real.
We spoke with John Elder Robison back in March.